Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask for your attention, but I am not calling the meeting to order. A member of the board has asked to make a brief statement about Black History Month and an article she has written. Now, this is not part of the agenda. Marie, would you make a brief statement now? Marie Deary, member of the board.
Most of you know that this month is Black History Month. It's the shortest month of the year. And I think we as people of African descent, we deserve the whole year, not just one month. But in any event, I have a magazine, you know, Long Beach, that I put a copy in front of you. I wrote an article about the contributions that African Americans have made to this country. So in your spare time, please take a look at it. And next month is Women's History Month, and I am planning on also doing another article on the micro credit program that is used around the world. And so if any of you have any information that I can use regarding this article for Women's History Month, please, you can email me. Thanks. Can we also do a tribute to Auntie Davis while we're...
Oh, sure. We're going to. Right. We're going to ask.
Can we also do tribute to Ossie Davis?
Yeah, I'm doing something, sure.
Yeah, we have. Noting the presence of a quorum, I'm going to call the KPFK local station board to order. It is now past 10:30 a.m. on February 5th. We're meeting at the Southern California Library for Social Studies and Research, and we're going to acknowledge this library later after the agenda is proposed. The meeting is now called to order, so members of the board, if you could be seated and try to find a stack. There's a huge stack of papers and a voting card. See if you can find a place at the table that has the agenda, motions, and other things. I'm going to ask, after having called the meeting to order, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Whose glasses are these?
Is there any extra packet?
Yes, Reza? Here's one.
Reza? Reza?
Yeah, this one.
I don't think anyone's seen them. Whose are these?
Yes, I called for the call of the roll.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. Okay. We're calling the roll.
Let's see, is this on?
Grace, is this on?
Yes.
Can't tell, yeah. Okay, yes. Good. Grace Aaron is here. Dave Adelson?
Here.
Good. Sarah Amir?
Here.
Good. Rodrigo Argueta?
Here.
Good. Maria Armudian?
Here.
Good. Lydia Brazone?
Here.
Good. Marie Deary?
Here.
Good. Israel Foyer? Okay. Bill Gallegos? Okay. Eva Georgia?
Yes.
Good. Jan Goodman? Okay. Terry Goodman?
Yes.
Good. Kimberly King?
Yes.
Good. Sonali Kohatkar?
Yes, here.
Good. Arturo Lemus?
Here.
Good. Casey McFall?
Here.
Good. Alan Minsky? Okay. Ed Pearl?
Here.
Good. Ray Zapour?
Yeah.
Good. Margaret Prescott?
Here.
Good. Julie Chavez Rodriguez? Okay. Madeline Schwab?
Here.
Good. Donna Warren?
Here.
Good. John White?
Here.
Good. Lamont Yakey? Okay. Thank you. Grace, you didn't call me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sherna Gluck, here's here.
Okay, once again, we note the presence of a quorum. In the agenda, welcome acknowledgments. We just want to acknowledge the Southern California Library for Social Studies and Research, an invaluable asset to the progressive movement and a repository of the history of the left in the United States, focusing especially on the role of African Americans in the United States, in the labor movement, in the civil rights movement, in the social justice movement, in the peace movement, as well as other and all communities of color represented here. It's a source of research material for scholars, and it's an inspiration to our movement. So we just want to acknowledge the Southern California Library for Social Studies and Research, and thank you very much for hosting us here today. It is not our first visit to the library, and each time we're here, we're just inspired, if by nothing more than the graphics and the murals and the reflection of our movement's history. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next agenda. I'm actually going to call on a member who is going to make a brief statement, Margaret Prescott, around a very sad development in our movement.
Yes, I just wanted us today to acknowledge the work and the life of activist and actor Ozzie Davis. There are many of us who have lived long enough to have been part of the movement that Ozzie Davis played such a major role in and was such a tremendous inspiration. And in a lot of ways, in thinking back on his work and his life, it is really a good reminder to those of us as we look around us and we see the issues of race and racism in so many ways become so distorted, and people of many races being used, including people of African descent, in a way that Ozzie Davis objected to and today even would continue to object to. We owe quite a lot for those of us working in the movement for change to someone like Ozzie Davis, who actually put building a movement before his own career and before monetary concerns. He's a fine actor. If you've ever heard or seen him in anything, he's just first-class actor. But he also paid a price in Hollywood for the position, the principal positions that he took, not only as a young man with Dr. King and others, but continued throughout the civil rights movement, and indeed up until the moment he died. I spoke to a friend of mine who was also a friend of Ozzie Davis, and they were indeed supposed to do an event together to commemorate Malcolm X. And I called and I said, well, Ozzie Davis has passed away. And he said, well, but this is just an example. Just finally, I think it's fitting that Mr. Davis passed away peacefully in his sleep during the night while filming in Florida. His beloved Ruby Dee was in New Zealand across the waters, and I'm sure she went immediately to his side. So I'm hoping that today we can dedicate today's meeting, or in some way, either by dedicating the meeting or through a resolution of some kind, to really recognize and acknowledge the contributions of actor and activist Ozzie Davis. We're very saddened by his leaving us.
The chair would entertain a motion to dedicate today's meeting to... It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there unanimous consent? Those in favor of the motion signify by raising your voting cards or hands if your hands are at computers. Opposed? Seeing no opposition, it'll be recorded as by acclamation. The inspiration of Ossie Davis is recognized by this motion. The next agenda item is the review and approval of the agenda. Listener sponsors as well as board members have the agenda in front of them. It's a full agenda. So the chair and the board is not opposed to alterations, but keep in mind that this is about a three-hour meeting as it's projected. The chair would entertain motions, comments about the agenda.
Yes.
Sonali Kohatkar.
I would like for there to be a 10-minute agenda item to discuss the Hustler magazine attack on KPFK programmers, perhaps coming number 4 after the GM report, or wherever, you know, wherever people would like it to go. I don't particularly care.
Let's have a specific motion so that we can...
Well, I propose it as agenda item number 4, then.
Agenda item number 4. Is there a second to that? It's been moved and seconded that we would put 10-minute agenda item on the Hustler magazine controversy as it pertains to KPFK as agenda item 4, which means all other agenda items would be reduced. Discussion on this?
Well, can we call for a vote
later?
Yeah, I agree.
Sure. I'm open to moving it later.
All right. The maker of the motion is open to, we're going to do this a little informally, is open to moving it later in the meeting. Kimberly, do you have a suggestion?
For example,
after
11.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, we're going to informally accept, just as a friendly alteration of this motion, that it become number 11.
Yeah.
All right, any further discussion of this?
Become 11 or after 11?
No, let's call for a vote.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, we don't need to call for a vote at all. We can go directly to a vote. Those in favor of this, raise your cards. No, I'm not voting unless I break a tie.
Or make a tie.
Thank you. 18 opposed. Zero. Abstentions? Oh, excuse me. Was there an opposition? Any opposition?
No.
Zero opposition. Abstentions? 18. 4. No oppositions, no abstentions. Any further alterations? Chair recognizes Donna Warren.
I noticed, or maybe you can point it out, I don't see where there's a place for new business.
Make a concrete proposal.
I would like to add that new business be included so that new business can be at least...
Okay, let's make a concrete proposal. Give an agenda item where we can substitute new business, where we can inject new business.
New business is usually, I thought, at the end of the agenda.
Very well. So this would be agenda item 16?
How about right after old business? That's good.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
How long?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
10 minutes.
It's been moved and seconded that new business be put in as agenda item 16, lasting 10 minutes. It's been moved and seconded.
17, because we added one.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. I have it correct on my new agenda here. But any discussion? Seeing no discussion, we can go right to a vote. You're not voting on the question, but you're voting on the merits or on the motion. Those in favor of adding 10 minutes for new business as item number 17, raise your cards.
This is really where the hustler item should go as well.
Opposed?
Can I raise a point of procedure? Even though we voted where to place the hustler item, it really should be under new business, so we start following a procedure where all new business is under new business.
I'm sorry. While I'm sympathetic, the comment is out of order inasmuch as the board has voted on that, so the merit of this is simply establishing a new business item. But, Sherna, you could move formally to change our decision.
Well, I don't want to take time on it.
Okay.
I just want to point out that we need to have a new business item and all new business go under
that. And that should come before this vote on the hustler issue. Okay, we've added opposition. Anyone opposed?
No, I just have an eye.
Abstentions? No. Okay, so new business will be injected at that point for 10 minutes. Any further? Chair recognizes Lydia Brazon.
Yes, and I would like this to come before we get into committee elections, so we could either be before the reports, but I am proposing making
two resolutions that if passed, we won't need the time-consuming election. So I urge us to have it at that point. And I think everyone has the resolutions in hand, I believe, regarding the committees, regarding LSB members on committees, the constitution of them, and the other one is for listener sponsors on committees.
Okay, so let's take them one at a time, Lydia. Make the proposal for listener sponsors on committees. Where would you like that
to go? It's already here. I already said before the LSB committee reports only from committees. That's fine.
This is already here.
Before we get into the LSB membership on the committees, wherever you want it. But
okay, can we put that number?
It's already here. It's number five.
Motion on listener sponsor membership.
Right, but Don asked me to adjust to make a change to the agenda right before the meeting, so I assume that was something else.
Well, let me point out that agenda item 5 deals with listener sponsor participation, but frankly, this agenda does not have
the LSB
issue. In other words, okay. LSB members and the committees that LSB members will be assigned to.
Okay, so then my proposal is now to make it number 5 and make the current motion on listener sponsor number 6, or make them together. But that item, in other words, the LSB portion has to come first because of the way that my resolution is written.
Okay, would it be acceptable to the board if we make motion number 5, a motion on LSB membership in committees and...
It's A and B.
Well, okay, now the secretary has
suggested
A and B. Yes. A, LSB, and B, listener sponsors. Is that acceptable? Okay, I think we should probably... It is an alteration. So those in favor signify by raising your voting cards. There's a point of order. David Adelson.
I think it would be actually more appropriate that we take all of the agenda items and then vote the revised agenda.
We'll have to do that, David, but we have to actually figure out what the revisions are before we can accept the agenda as revised. All right. Did you get a vote?
10 in favor. Any opposed?
Opposed.
Abstentions.
Okay.
Can we re-vote?
No.
I think it was kind of confusing.
All right, let's just vote again.
David Holt.
Now, before we vote again, this agenda item originally was 15 minutes. Clearly, I believe we're going to need more than 15 minutes because we're now dealing with LSB membership and listener sponsor membership on committees.
And two different versions.
Yeah, and more than one version.
Correct.
So would you suggest maybe 25 minutes instead of 15?
That's fine.
No.
Okay, so now the motion is the motion is to make agenda item 5 25 minutes and have A, LSB membership on LSB committees, and B, listener sponsors on LSB committees.
Okay.
Those in favor of doing that, raise your voting cards.
Don, Rodrigo had a question.
Oh, excuse me, Rodrigo, yes.
Yeah, my question is that link related to number 9, which is LSB committee report? That's only for reports. Is that related to it?
No.
Is that the proposal it's been put on the table in order to have like new members to be included in the existing committees?
Yes. But let me explain.
LSB.
It's a very good question. So let me explain. LSB committees are continuing committees. That is to say, work that has been done in the last session will be presented to the board by that committee. So there will be committee motions coming out of the committees from the last session, even prior to the last election. So it does not connect to it in that the membership we're talking about in Agenda 5 is for the coming session. where you and other newly elected members will be put on committees that you want to go on to.
So that'll be when we get to number five, we're going to do that?
Yes. My impression from Lydia is that when we get to agenda item five, it will give newly elected members, not just Rodrigo, but Arturo Lemus and Reza, and there are others, that would give them an opportunity to see how they will join LSB committees. Is that right, Lydia?
Right, but I mean, the question that I didn't include in my resolution is, of course, just that we just start the new list. I mean,
I'm sorry, what was that?
Never mind, I'll get to it when we get.
Okay. All right. Did we vote on that?
No.
Okay, those in favor of that agenda item 5 revision, raise your voting cards.
One.
I'm sorry, what was the revision?
It's A and B.
12 in favor. Opposed? Abstentions?
1, 2, 3, 4.
4 abstentions. Are there any other comments, revisions, enrichment of the agenda?
I have a point of information.
Yeah, Donna Warren.
I'm trying to figure out, I know that a couple of the LSB members are not here today, and I know that they were given an excuse, and I'm wondering if that should have been noted when the secretary called the roll. I'm not sure.
We have to go to excuse.
Yeah, there's under agenda item 1, there's a motion for excuse absence.
Okay, thank you.
However, it is germane also because, well, I won't go there.
Don't go there.
Okay, seeing no other alterations, Chair entertains a motion to accept the agenda as revised.
So moved.
Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, we can go directly to a vote. Those in favor of accepting the agenda as revised and altered and amended? Fifteen opposed. Are there any opposed? 0. Abstentions?
Abstentions?
0. The agenda is approved.
I have a point of procedure.
I'm sorry?
A point of procedure.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Do we have a timekeeper, and can we start having formal motions for extension of time when we have start to exceed our time limit?
Okay, in answer to Sherna's question, yes, we do have a timekeeper. Our vice chair has a stopwatch and a hammer, a club. I don't know why the club is here. Regarding time certain, let's look at agenda item 6.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking that when we start to exceed the time allotted, that we either stop or a formal motion is made to extend time.
Oh, there's no question about it. There's no question about it. We've accepted times, and the timekeeper will let us know, and we will have to vote to extend. David Adelson.
Procedure, two things. One, sometimes we've got a minute and a half, 2 minutes for speakers, so what's the agreement on that for this meeting? And secondly, my understanding of the agenda is that you don't need to call for the question if we're approaching time, so I'd like to ask at 5 minutes before time we be notified so we can either dispose of the motion or move to extend.
Mm-hmm. And that's consistent with Roberts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in order to expedite and try to get resolution, if the timekeeper will let us know when we only have 5 minutes left. And Sherna's point is well taken, that if we run out of time, we'll need formal motions to extend debate. Let me just see here. Review and approve. Approval of the minutes. Does the secretary have anything?
The minutes are in the packet for the delegate meeting, which was on January 10th, 2005, and also the LSB meeting on the same day. So I will entertain a motion to approve these minutes. First, the LSB minutes and then the delegate minutes.
These were posted by email to all members, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
So everyone had access to those. It's been moved that we accept these minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, we can move directly to a vote. Those in favor of approving the minutes that were distributed by the secretary and are in our possession at this time, signify by raising your cards.
Unanimous.
It's unanimous. No objection. No one voting no. No abstentions.
I abstain.
Okay. One abstention.
Two.
Two abstentions. Thank you very much. Let's move ahead to... Excuse me, Terry.
Yes.
Goodman.
The former secretary has distributed minutes of the meeting of June 19th and has also distributed two motions for correction of previous minutes. If we don't want to entertain that now, I'm giving notice for entertaining approval of those minutes and some corrections at our next meeting.
Thank you, Terry. And without objection, the chair will simply put everyone on notice that those minutes will come before us in March. Is there any objection to the chair's ruling? Seeing none, we'll move ahead. Approvements. Motions for excused absences. Now, I received communication from Bill Gallegos that he knew he could not be here. He had a good excuse, which I forget exactly what it was. So,
doing a workshop.
A workshop, that's right, out of town. And it's connected to employment and to professional obligations. With the secretary, could you tell us the other excused, the other absent members today?
Yes. Now, Israel Sawyer is absent. He may come late. He had a problem that he had to deal with. And he asked me to excuse. Also, Lamont Yakey is not here.
Jan Goodman is not here.
Jan Goodman is absent also.
She has to be excused.
Jan did have to be excused.
Yes.
Okay.
On Lamont Yakey, he called me this morning. He has to pick up his kid from something. He'll be here by 11:30.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so the chair would entertain a motion to give excused absences to Bill Gallegos, Jan Goodman, who are the others?
Lamont Yakey. Israel Foyer. Bill Gallegos.
And Marie, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Yes, and actually, we're not going to deal with that, but we're very sympathetic with Marie Deary, who must leave at noon, because there's a very important memorial funeral that Marie has asked to be excused at 12. That won't be covered here. She'll be considered in attendance at this meeting. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, we can go to a vote. Those in favor of moving to excuse those aforementioned absentees, raise your cards.
The four, there were only two that asked to be excused.
No, actually, Lamont Yakey.
Oh, he did also?
Yes.
And who else?
And Israel Flynn.
See, I thought they were going to be here.
Well, yes, but if they... Okay. Opposed?
No.
Is David Adelson voting no?
No.
He's fallen into a trance. Abstentions? Okay, before we go ahead, just an editorial comment by the chair. We're going to actually propose a motion to the board with some criteria around excused absences. I mean, people are thinking about this because it's very easy. I mean, if someone has a scheduling conflict, they have to go to a political meeting or come to a board meeting, technically that would not be excused because we're expecting people to prioritize this, number one. Funerals, illness in the family, professional obligations are very different. So there's going to be a motion, and also the bylaws clearly delineate how many unexcused absences a member can have before there's discipline. We're going to have to deal with that, but it won't be at this moment. Okay, we're going to move the agenda. Comments by the chair, just a couple. One, you have some forms in front of you that look like this, and they're motion slips. I have to admit I stole these from...
PNB?
No, from the Houston LSB, because I met with the chairs of the other four signal areas. So if you're doing a motion, notice it gives you some place to put it, then this must be handed to the secretary in the exact wording of your motion. So this will be the determining factor when we recite. This would be a motion or an amendment.
That has not been previously distributed.
That is right. Let's say that you're doing an amendment, and sometimes we've quibbled over what do these amendments say. So this becomes an official document that we give.
I don't think we all have that.
Maybe you don't. Some of us have more than enough. So what we'll do is we'll pass a few of these down, and then. Yeah, good. The other thing is we have a board procedure that we don't vote until public comment, so where that's not incorporated in the agenda, we'll have to just make sure that we adhere to that. I'm going to go now. We're very pleased to have with us the general manager of KPFK. We are very proud of the general manager who hosted the Pacifica National Board meetings at the Sportsman's Lodge recently, and they were a resounding success. It was not, of course, Eva alone, but her staff, volunteers, members of the board. So we should all be very pleased that if we didn't agree with every decision they made, we certainly agree that the logistics and the board meeting went well. I just want to add that the last day, members of Pacifica National Board marched with us in the Martin Luther King Parade. They were very impressed by the fact that many people in the community waved and gave a cheer for KPFK. They said, well, you certainly have listeners in this community, and we were very proud to be marching in the Martin Luther King Parade with PNB members. I'm going to call on Eva Georgia to make her report. You have 13 minutes, but we will vote an extension if you need a few extra minutes.
Thank you,
Eva Georgia.
Good morning, everybody. I would like to take a moment, firstly, and maybe Marie wants to add to this. We've also had a loss in the black community, and that's the funeral that's happening this morning, and I'll be there in spirit with Dadisi. And he is somebody that I think, for many of us that has known him, has walked the path that many of us still try to walk in terms of an activist, in terms of a community leader, in terms of a teacher, a poet. He was absolutely phenomenal. So this is a loss to our community, but also today a celebration of his life. So I don't know if you wanted to say anything else. Okay. And then to light a note, happy birthday, Alan Minsky.
No, half birthday. Thank you.
Half birthday?
Oh, you stole my three.
Okay.
Point of personal. Thank you.
He'll do the other half of his birthday.
So it's sort of an important one. You know?
I can't stand people who are that young.
So I'm doing my report a little different this morning. And I want, if you could please look at your set of documentation on the table. I think most of it is buried under the pink slip. And it starts off with the Pacifica handbook, employee handbook. The beginning of my report is the Pacifica employee handbook. I do apologize to the listeners. I will make these documents, everything that's submitted, and will continue to do so at every meeting to publish everything on the website. We'll also start archiving all of these meetings, the LSB meetings, so if people can just remember today to please speak in the mic for the sake of recordings. So if you go to the last document, actually in this pack, you should probably just turn the pack around, you'll have what is called the Pacifica Foundation 50-year audience and financial history. Looks like this. Please go to tab 4. The tab number 4. And if you look at it, this is the report that was presented at the PNB. Some of you might have seen it. It is the surplus deficit report between 1990 and 2005. And if you start looking at 2001, you see the deficit there. And then in 2002, the beginning of a surplus of 57,000. And then in 2003, that huge increase of a surplus of 456,000. Deficit in 2004, which is the 42,000, what was the result of the fund drive, that October fund drive. And then the projected surplus of 260,000 for this year. Yeah, if can I get through, if I can get through it.
It's a technical question about this number.
Okay.
Does that deficit, are they including the 1 month operating surplus that they require that you accrue, so that negative number is actually falling short of what you needed for your expenses plus that 1 month? Is that what that is?
Technically, I don't agree with the deficit numbers. You're aware of that. That this is based on projected numbers we're supposed to have in the budget, not the numbers that we actually work with. So if you look at the second page, you can look at the history of how KPFK's finances grew over the years. And if you go to 2001, 2002, you see the big jump there, going up to almost 3 years as we continue to increase the finances of KPFK. And then if you just go to the next page, which is your Arbitron, weekly Arbitron estimates for this year, I think this one came out in, I believe, October. The other one is the Arbitron ratings has just come out, and the numbers are basically the same. Pacifica did not have 2002 Arbitrons because the bill wasn't paid. You all, I'm sure, are aware of that. So if you look at 2003, you see our audience ratings according to the Arbitron is 208,000. We're at, you're looking at the page with the blue lines. And at 2004, it's at, now it's at 203,000 of a weekly QM. That's the number that we're working with on Arbitron. And then if you go to the next page, you can look at the ethnic breakdown of the Arbitron rating, and just take into consideration that Arbitron only does an ethnic breakdown of black and Hispanic. The blue line is the KPFK listeners. The red line is the metro population. So if you look at the black audience, the metro population is about, I think, 8%, and out of that, we have a bigger audience out of the KPFK signal area. In the Hispanic audience, you can see there that there's been a growth of the Hispanic audience at KPFK. Between the ages of 12 and 17, that's not really an area that KPFK does any kind of programming on. 18 to 34 and 35 to 49 is significant for us to look at increasing these audiences for KPFK, because we only have less than 25% of the 18 to 34 audience that listens to KPFK. A little just more than 30% on the 35 and 49. And then on average, the KPFK listener is the 50-year-old listener that you've heard at the PND meeting. So we definitely need to work at increasing 18-34 and 35-49.
I think you're misinterpreting the numbers a little bit. 18 to 34 is 25% compared to 30% of the population.
Yeah, if you look at it, because
it's more than half. We're almost getting 3/4 of that 18 to 34 group.
Yes, you have. Well, you have metro area. The other area that is not this, there's some other numbers, but just take it for what it is. That's metro area. And then the audience breakdown at KPFK, I thought, was really impressive. If you look at the next page, it's 48% women and 52% men. I'd like to switch that around at some point. So, please do take some time to go through this report. It's something, all these documents that is here today, I hope that all of you will take the time to read through them, so that when we come to the board orientation, that you have this information, and we can maybe talk more in depth. I just wanted to give you some snippets of this information this morning, Dave.
Yeah, I just want to make one point on these statistics, these numbers. This is based on CUME. CUME is measuring people who listen at least 15 minutes per week. So you might have some of these, like let's say women. Women might be listening for 15 minutes. Men might be listening for 100 hours, and they'd still come up 50-50 because it's half-half. So you have to take all these numbers in terms of what they actually mean. That's the number of people who are sampling in each of these categories. Doesn't mean you're necessarily serving those communities to the same degree.
Yeah. And Arbitron is it's a small sample. It's just one sample, so it shouldn't be the all and everything, but it gives us at least an idea. Questions?
Yes. Does Arbitron not include Asian Pacific Islanders?
No.
Is there a way that we could start getting that included, and that also they would change that Hispanic designation?
Okay. Well, that's something that we have to take up with the Arbitron company, but this is not the only ethnic group that they do is blacks and Latinos. So I think one of the things we have to look at is to design our own survey methods to do qualitative and quantitative research, that we can't just rely on this, because these samples are really small and it really doesn't give us any in-depth analysis. I mean, there's a lot more to the Arbitron report, but in addition, we should be designing our own. Is there any questions on this, or can I
just
move
quickly
on?
Did you, Lydia, have a question?
I just had a comment. I know, for example, Dave and I, some years ago, had met with some progressive pollsters that some of us knew from UCLA, moon polling and whatever, and it would cost about $25,000 that I think we could get a grant for to start building something that is absolutely credible, but that has all of the designations and all the information we need to gather.
Okay.
If I could
yes.
Make just...
Yes, Alan Minsky?
Yeah, two comments. I just want to say I feel bad that you all can't see these, and it was too late that Terry did that, and I wish I had stood up and showed them to you. But I just want to actually
pass them on.
Yeah, I just want to say that as people look at the drop 2003-2004, why there is that drop-off on the two listener supports, remember, there were programming changes, and I think that if we understood that we were trying to make a shift and try to reach audiences that KPFK hasn't, so I think that's really incredible that the drop-off was as small as it is. It's a very small percentage, and it really means, I think it signifies, in fact, continued growth, given the fact that we had so many, you know, some shows that have been on forever, you know, did move or left and new shows came on. So I actually think that that's really quite exceptional. And then I just want to say, too, along with what Lydia said, I know they try scientifically, and Arbitron defends themselves about getting youth. I think that's always underrepresented. All the youth that I know that listen to KPFK, and we certainly have to continue to try to build that. And I'm thinking 18 to 34, what you say is absolutely right. 12 to 17 isn't a target audience for us right now. But in terms of youth, none of the people I know who listen to the station would ever allow themselves to be tracked by the Arbitron people, yeah. But it's something to continue to try to build. But I'm guessing that's a little underrepresented still.
Yeah, and Alan, thank you for that comment.
Two more minutes for this item.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I will not get through it for 2 minutes, but let's try. The next item for informational purposes, I wanted to make sure that the entire board has the budget that was approved, the 2005 budget. And as I said, mostly this is information this morning. We can go through these issues at the board orientation. Next to the next document after that, some comments for the new members. This is the LSB and KPFK. The LSB Finance Committee worked on this budget with management and then brought it to the LSB for approval. The next document is the quarterly income and expense report that is also on the Pacifica website. Do people have these reports?
Yeah.
Maria, do you have these reports?
They're here.
From the... Which one?
The finance report, the budget, do you have it? Okay. I thought you were standing up.
No, I'm sorry. I just had a question after
Secretary. Oh, okay. So you have the budget. You have the quarterly report until November 2004. And then I quickly want to just want you to look at the Memphis report that was requested. It looks like this. Mm-hmm. Memphis report is a one-pager.
first I want to kind of extract. It's if you follow the documents as they were put together,
yes.
It's after the budget, you have the quarterly report, and then you have this one pager that is the MEMSIS report. The MEMSIS report is the system that we use to track all income and expenses from our fund drives or listener supported income. So if you look at it, you can see there the amount of money that it
13 okay. minutes.
Well, so that the GM is not under so much pressure, I'll entertain a motion to extend this for 5 minutes.
So including is that including time for questions?
Well, yes, it would be. I'm talking now about the agenda item, which is the GM's report. We may have to extend for more than five, but I think we need to. Maybe we should actually extend for... Yes.
If we look at the chart...
Wait, excuse me. No, excuse me. Just let me resolve this. I'm going to alter that, and I'm going to propose we extend this agenda item 8 minutes. Is there a second? Let me put it this way.
Okay.
Anyone objecting to extending for 8 minutes? Is there any objection? Yes.
I think it's not enough, and we'll have to do it again.
Can I make a recommendation?
Yes, go ahead.
If I can get through the report, and if people in the meantime make comments, I would be able to then answer every question, but it's really difficult to get through the report.
Okay, I'm gonna actually...
We have a time certain for 11:45. So
yes, that's true. That's on the agenda, Sherna. We're all aware of that. What time do you have now, Sherna?
No, what I'm saying is we have to stop, take the 11:45, and then return.
We know that. What time is it now, Sherna? 11:40. So it's very close. Okay, without objection, we're going to have the GM continue... I've identified 8 minutes, and let's look then. We can come back after time certain, and let's hold our questions and comments until the GM has finished her report, because I think her flow is being interrupted maybe. So could you hold Marie until she... I'm sorry? Yes, okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So we're looking at the MEMSIS report. If you look at the MEMSIS report, you look at totals on the left-hand side of the page. If you look at the total pledge, which was the fund drive income number, was $1,066,000. And if you look at the very last column, it says 83%. That is the fulfillment rate that we are at from the October fund drive. Does everybody have it? And then if you go down to acquisitions, see under by purpose, you see it says acquisitions?
Yes.
Now if you go under the line pledge, it's the fourth line from the right end, the fourth, one, two, three, four, fifth column from the right hand side. It says the acquisitions, 3,716.
Yeah.
Those are new members that joined KPFK during the October fund drive. If you look underneath, it says renewals. That same column, 1,224. Those are members that renewed their membership with KPFK during the fund drive. Rejoins, same column, 1,851 members is the members that rejoined KPFK after a 12-month lapse. So I wanted to just give you some of those ideas. And if we look at the 69%, just 69% of our income from the fund drive was paid with credit cards, and we would like to see an increase in that. 97% of the credit card payments have been completed. I think one of the other things that is important to recognize is that we've had problems with sending out premiums. To date, we've sent out more than 90% premiums, so it's getting better. We're almost there. One other significant increase is that the average, the largest number that had the largest number of gifts for KPFK used to be $93. Now it's between $100 and $250. So that gift makes up 49% of people pledging in the fund drive, which is a significant increase of the dollar amounts coming into the fund drive. The next document looks like this. It is called the collective bargaining agreement. It's the union agreement. It's the current agreement. You will also see that it was October 1997 to September 2000. When I came into the station, I had negotiated an extension with the union, so this contract is still in place. We have finalized, I believe, negotiations in early December with the union. We now have to get together with the union to agree on language, and the step after that would be that the contract goes back to the staff, the bargaining unit members, so that we can have sign off the contract. One of the things that we did do, because the contract took so long, was in December or November proposed that we do the first year increase for staff. So there was a 6% staff increase for the bargaining unit members at KPFK. We still are in negotiations of the second and third year wage increases. After that, you have your web information, which is your monthly statistics for KPFK. I think there's some numbers that's really significant here. In October, November, and December, we tracked the numbers, and we had more than 3 million hits for each month on our website. For, do you have the page? It looks like it's the beginning of this.
Yes.
So for January, we had 2.4 million people that have visited our web or hit to the site. And so there's some significant numbers there. The average amount of people visiting our sites per day are now 88,000 in the month of January. And if you go to the next page, it gives you a breakdown of what day and what time listeners are clicking onto the web. We looked at an average of 3 hours that people are listening on the website. And then it gives you, if you look at, it says top 30 of 1985 total referrers. These are sites that people are typing into the website. So if you look from, you know, you have in January, 89,000 listeners typed in kpfk.org. And then the second highest was kpfk.org-index. So direct hits would be 289,000. Those would be people just putting in KPFK, nothing else. Then you look at it on the next page, page 3 of this document. If you look at the number 12, you'll see Google is one of the search engines that's used mostly, the highest number of people there clicking onto Google to find KPFK. After that, you have Yahoo. So Google and Yahoo, and then AOL are some of the search engines people are using to get to KPFK. And then there's some more information about search strings. Again, if you look at page 4, which is the page with the chart on, which is, I think, a really interesting page. It's got the pie chart on it.
2 more minutes on this item.
Okay. So the pie chart there tells you where people are coming from. And obviously, the biggest ones are the .NETs and the .coms are where people go for KPFK. What is interesting is that we have such a high number of people tuning in from United States and the U.S. government looking at KPFK sites. And if you look at the gigabytes, it tells us that a lot of the government departments are downloading significant amounts of information from KPFK. So we like that. If you go to the last page, you
do
will
we know
see
if it's all from the CIA?
Yeah, we'll find out. If you go to the final page, you look at the different countries where KPFK are now having listener stream, and it's from the United Kingdom, Mexico, France, Japan, Netherlands, Central America, Argentina, Honduras, Greece. There's so many more. So what we're doing, we're going to start tracking these more significantly. We've also looked at the fact that at 8 o'clock we have in the morning, we have the highest amount of people coming to the website, and for that reason we are now going to have news on the website. It doesn't necessarily mean people are listening, but they're just coming onto the site. Am I over my time again?
Yes. Now, here's the situation. When we adopted this agenda, you'll notice that agenda item 6, is it still 6? 2, the general manager's finishing report. I have Marie on the stack for a question. We also have a report from the Pacifica National Board. But if you'll notice, agenda item 6 is time certain, 11:45. So may I ask the general manager, Eva, you're going to be staying for most of this meeting. So,
I'm staying.
What I believe that we're obligated to do now is to move to the items that are time certain at 11:45 and then come back where we left off the agenda. Eva, I ask for your indulgence to do that because we do want to hear the end of your report and we have a couple questions.
Okay.
I'll direct the attention of the board to agenda item 6. One is an action on pending motions from the Program Oversight Committee. The chair calls on Sherna Gluck.
I'm sorry, I ran out of space regardless of how long I made the margins, so there's no title for this. It's a single page and you'll see step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It'll be towards the bottom of this stack of stuff on the table here. And for the listeners who didn't get it, there are more copies at the end of the table there. That's what I'm saying. There's no heading. It starts with whereas the LSV and it has 5 steps. It looks like this. Okay. Hopefully we can get through this very quickly. I sent it out in advance. The Programming Oversight Committee presented this in December. Does everyone have it now? Everyone should have seen this at least 2 times by now. The critical thing is this was worked out by the committee with management. Our concern has been that there is not a complaint process for unpaid staff. That was one of our goals. Hopefully we will work on a complaint process for listeners as well. But that's part of the mandate of the Programming Oversight Committee. As I say, it was worked out with management. It went through various iterations. This was now agreed to by the members of the committee and management. I think it's a no-brainer to pass this.
I just want to ask now, does everyone have this in front of them, starting out, whereas the LSV is charged with working with station management to ensure that station policy and so on. Everyone has that in front of them.
There are 5 steps.
All right. Okay.
There were just some minor copy editing changes of moving where the numerals were suggested by Terry, but this is something you've all seen. Our concern has been that there be a process for current unpaid programmers when there is a complaint about a management action with regard to programming. There are 2 separate issues. One is complaint about procedure. The other is complaint about a policy. And our idea is that there be 2 tracks, that if it's a complaint about policy, it should go to the program council. And one can follow both tracks simultaneously. So if you see at the very bottom, it notes that a programmer contesting the policy itself, she can simultaneously use this complaint procedure for the violation of process and contest the policy directly to the IPC once it has a procedure in place. So this is about procedure process. Our concern is that the programming committee, program council, the IPC, start to get to work on policies because we have a lack of policies, let me put it that way. We need policies so that when there's an issue about the policy or there is no policy and there's an ad hoc interim policy declared by management that guides its judgment, that goes to or can go to the program council. So this is about procedure, a complaint procedure.
All right. Now the process we're going to use is we'll entertain a motion to pass this, look for a second, discuss it.
It's a committee, but we will, and it's a committee motion.
It's a committee report, so it needs no second.
It's a committee motion.
It's a committee motion. Then we can discuss it, and then I would suggest that any unused copies of this be distributed to listener sponsors, because we'll be voting on this under agenda item 8. The chair recognizes, I'm starting a stack. Marie, you're number one, but yours is directed to Eva. So we'll just wait until we get back to Eva. Chair recognizes Dave. No, Maria and then Dave.
First of all, I want to applaud the committee. Finally, we have something in front of us that I think is it makes great sense as you put it together. I like this as it is. I'm going to support it. I urge my other board members to support it.
Are you seconding it?
You don't need a second.
It's a committee
report. David.